Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we often reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. And we're going to do a little bit of that, but at least one more time, we have Don Truex with us as a special guest, and we have compelled him not only last week to meet with us virtually via audio and video, but today we've got Don in the studio. And Don, it is a pleasure to have you with us on this particular episode.
Thank you, Jason. It's always good to be with you all. Tremendously enjoying my time at Charlestown Road once again, and happy to get to visit with you and Roger once again.
Absolutely. We're just squeezing every opportunity we have of Don, and have just tremendously enjoyed the last couple of days. Of course, our listeners hopefully all know that we are in the heart of VBS. In fact, as this episode airs, we've got one more night of VBS. And Don, you have been talking about a variety of building right along with Christ. Tonight, you're talking about heaven built by Christ.
Heaven built by Christ. You know, all the things that we've talked about beginning on Sunday morning, as we have explored issues regarding to the church and the family and then how we can cooperate with God in his great work. All of that design is ultimately to help us get to heaven. All of us are in the same place doing the same thing. We're all trying to just navigate our way successfully from earth to heaven. We all need help with that. But tonight, it's really important that we focus on what that objective and what that goal is.
Very good. We would love to have anyone and everyone assemble with us at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Of course, we have a variety of classes going on for children from 2 years old all the way through sixth grade. We've been meeting God on the mountains, and we've got one more opportunity to do that. We would love to see you and your family this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. But Roger, you, in light even of some of the things that Don talked about on Sunday morning, you've got a couple of questions, I think, queued up for the three of us.
I do. You know, in our typical podcast, we kind of pull off what we did on Sundays. And as I was thinking about inviting Don to be with us today, between the three of us, Jason and Don and myself, between the three of us, there's 100 years of preaching in this room. That's a lot of sermons. It's a lot of sermons.
It is. That's a lot of years, a lot of sermons. Roger's got 60 of those. Jason and I have 20 apiece.
He wastes. Dream on. It's more like 80, 10, 10. But we won't go with Whit's direction. But that's just a lot of preaching. And it's been an honor for all three of us to serve the Lord. We've been blessed way beyond what we deserve. A lot of different things we've done. I mean, Don's preached overseas, lots of places. I've had the opportunity to preach overseas. I've been in some different settings where I never, ever thought I would be. And so the Lord has used us in a lot of ways. And so I thought we would use this podcast a little bit just to talk about that concept and to help our listeners to think about these things. We remember in Mark 16, the Great Commission, which the Lord gave the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. There's been a lot of changes since the Lord said those words. I mean, when we think about what we're doing right now, using this technology to teach, we think about transportation, how easily we can move about the world today, communicate with the world today, unlike what it was in the first century world. We think about all those changes through the years, and yet here we are still preaching. And so why do we still preach? That's a valid question, I think, in our times today. So let's just kind of kick that around a little bit and go from there.
Don, you left home for a couple of days, and you have been spending time with us. Why do you think this has been valuable?
Well, it's been valuable from both directions. I will tell you that I've been a recipient of the value by being with this church family again. This church, of course, as we talked in the video podcast last week, has had a profound impact on my life. In fact, this morning when I was praying early this morning, I thank God for providentially bringing me to this church so many years ago. And I thank God for that because it changed my life. It changed my life in a very profound kind of way. And so I've been the recipient of that. But the other side of that, from the preaching standpoint, you know, Roger asks a very valid question. Why do we continue to do this when so much in the world has in fact changed? There are a lot of answers to that. But for me, it would come down to two simple things. One is example. Jesus Christ preached. He saw that as a valuable means of communication. I realize that sometimes that means of communication, preaching, is denigrated somewhat or minimized somewhat today. But Jesus certainly didn't see it that way. He preached to people in a variety of venues, audiences large and small. The apostles did exactly the same thing. That's why we read those sermons, for example, in the book of Acts, and so there is example there. But the other side of that is that there's a mandate for that. There's a mandate for that in the Old Testament with the prophets. There's a mandate in the New Testament when we are told to preach the word and to do that with some degree of specificity about what that involves and what the aspects of that would be. And so there are two sides, you know, with the example and the mandate. The fact is that many things have changed. Nobody's going to deny that. But there are many things that haven't changed. Nature of man hasn't changed, and the truth hasn't changed, and truth has to be communicated to man because of who man is.
And I think one thing we'd add into this, you know, God is already ahead of us. God's already into tomorrow. And God could have well just sent every individual a DVD, watch this, this is all you need. God could have planted something in our brains. It was the plan of God all the way back through Noah, through Moses, through Joshua, to preach the word of God. And we preach because it still works. It still connects people to Jesus. It still deals with our current problems. It still gets us where we need to be. And I think that's a powerful thing we need to remember. I think there's a movement today that wants to just put preaching in a museum that doesn't work today. It's old-fashioned. It's traditional. It's just out of place. But I don't see that in scriptures, and I don't see that even today. I think preaching is the avenue we need to see and appreciate.
Yeah, it makes me think of Romans 10, where Paul asks the timeless question, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That leads him to this great conclusion that faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. If people still need faith in a Savior that they still desperately need, if sin is still deadly and hell is still real and heaven is a possibility to this day, if a new and living way is still open to us through Jesus, preaching is just as relevant as it ever has been.
And so, you know, having said that, you know, for a lot of people today, faith has been replaced with feelings, and it's a feeling-based relationship, feeling-based religion. And as people are trying to make the church relevant for our times today, you know, our times are changing, as old Bob Dylan sang a long time ago. They're really changing rapidly today. We're facing things 20 years ago we never even thought would happen, and it's just moving quickly. And so a lot of people are just realizing that if we're going to connect with this millennial generation, we're going to connect with young people, we've got to change it because preaching just isn't going to work. And that's why a lot of modern churches have gone to plays and dramas. They've dropped doctrine. They're looking for other avenues. And so how would we deal with this idea? Does preaching still connect even with a young generation?
Well, first of all, you know, Roger, you were talking a moment ago about how God could have communicated, and he certainly could have. He could have communicated his message in a variety of ways. You know, God could have aligned the stars every night to spell out, he that believes in his baptized shall be saved. He could have done that. It was easily within his power. But what would be missing in that? What would be missing in that is the human connection. The connection that you have when somebody, as Jason just pointed out, preaches the word so that it can be heard, it can be understood, it can be believed, and then obeyed. That human connection is extraordinarily important. I mean, the prophets, we were told in the Old Testament, gave the sense of the reading. They gave the sense. There was obviously a connection and communication there. The problem today, as Roger points out, in segueing away from the spoken communication to dramas, to plays, to other things like that, is that my interpretation of that is completely subjective. There's no objective standard if you're trying to communicate to me in a play or in a drama. I watch a movie, Roger watches a movie, we may walk away from that with two completely different points of views. And the same could be true in regard to that religiously. When in fact, we do have a revelation from God that we're told to understand. It's not just, well, you see it one way and I see it another. No. It's how does God see it? How does God see it? How does he want me to understand it? And then I've got to communicate that as well.
And that, I think that's one of the value of preaching words. Words have definite definitions. They can be memorized. They can be translated. They can be copied. And you can't do that with feelings. I mean, you can sit beside someone in a funeral and you don't feel what they're feeling. You go to a modern art gallery and you look at this and you think, I can't believe this is up on the wall. This is junk. Someone else paid millions of dollars for that. And so the idea of God having us preach words, I think, are very, very valuable.
Yeah. You both have been preaching long enough that you have seen lots of changes over the years. And we hear, even in the season that we're in right now, that, well, this is a good time to change things because a lot of things got unplugged last year. And, okay, as we re-plug things in, maybe this is a good opportunity to reset some things, to pivot away. Why is it, do you think, that preaching the Word of God is going to continue to meet people, whether they are 80 or 18? Is this ancient book that we hold in our hands relevant enough to connect someone who is 18 years old to God the way that it was 1,000 years ago?
Well, I think first of all, what one of the things it's going to do is, as you look at preaching in the Bible, It takes it to your front porch. It takes it to your conscience. It makes you think, where am I with Jesus? What happens when I die? Those are things that, you know, you may not get in a play. You may not get in a show. But as preaching is, as we look at it in the Bible, it's always personal. That's how Jesus was. His lessons were right to where the people were. It made him think. It made him think about where they were. And that's got to be the bridge that takes us from where we are today to where the Lord wants us to be.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, there are concepts in the Bible like conviction. Well, how are you convicted? I'm not convicted much by a play or by a drama. I'm convicted by words that have rational thought behind them that make me see myself as I really am. Maybe one of the reasons why preaching is minimized in the 21st century is because we don't want to see, we don't want to examine ourselves as we should. Preaching is designed ultimately to lead individuals to conviction. To one of the modern things we have right there is an interruption by something ringing.
Right there. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, that's convicted me, and I need to confess that happened. that was my electronic device, not theirs.
No worries.
That's right. But the words of God are designed to bring conviction, that brings confession, that leads us to be better people. Again, words do that. Words do that because they touch, and they, what did the Hebrew writer say? It cuts us. It cuts us to the heart. It lays us bare. It makes us see ourselves as we are.
You know, a passage of Scripture comes to my mind from 2 Corinthians 5, and it obviously is the apostles in the context, but what we are building, Roger, you and I have spent the last several months encouraging our church family here to realize that what we are building is on the foundation of the apostles. And every time I read the end of 2 Corinthians 5, it is humbling. It is convicting, but also so inspiring to realize what's going on. Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What an awesome way of thinking about the role of giving voice to this convicting word of God. And for us, for those in positions of teaching, for those in positions of shepherds, preachers, to pivot away from God has given us this objective standard, and our responsibility is to give voice to the appeal of God to be reconciled to Him. We are not doing any generations any favors by pivoting away from that to, in our own short-sightedness, something that we believe would be more relevant in the 21st century.
And preaching is held honorable by God. It's honorable in the Bible. And we live in times, it's like, you know, if you can't find anything else to do, I guess you can preach. That's not the image you get in the Bible. The image you get in the Bible is this is God-called people, this is honorable, this is great, you're doing kingdom work. And I believe in our times today, we need to elevate that again. We need to realize what an honor it is to be able to have someone who's going to preach to us and share with us the wisdom of God's word. That helps us so much as we think about the work we do.
You know, there's a great thought there, Roger, that you just key up.
I have great thoughts once in a while. Not often.
Actually, I think that's the first one I've noticed. But I'll have to think about
it. He's going to maximize this one.
Yeah, so, you know, there is value to understanding that preaching provides a better worldview. You know, you stop and think about that. Whose worldview has given us the ills of our society? Whose worldview has given us wars, or whose worldview has given us abuse of children or destroyed families or any long litany of things that plague us? Well, it's not the worldview that comes from God. God's worldview provides something extraordinarily better for individuals and for groups of individuals. But how are we going to know? Again, as Jason said from Romans 10, it can only come in one way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and it makes that absolutely indispensable.
You know, years ago, there was this beer commercial on TV, and there was these two guys sitting in the fishing boat, and one guy said to another, "It doesn't get any better than this." And I thought, sit in the boat, the fat guy and the sun beating on me? Man, I can think of a lot of things better than that. And when you turn to the scriptures, God shows us that, you know, this is not as good as it's going to get. It's going to get better through Jesus Christ, not only in heaven, but the abundant life that God gives us right now. And that's where we get that preaching once again. That helps us.
So I don't want to let this opportunity pass by without asking both of you. Lots of years of experience. I'm trying to be very careful. I'm not framing you as old. Lots of years of experience.
Yeah, I believe those are synonymous terms.
Veteran preachers, what, if you were just to give us a point or two, what have you learned about the value of preaching, the place of preaching over the course of those years?
I'll just mention just a couple of things briefly that just immediately come to mind. The first is the tremendous blessing of working with people. You know, God's people and God's family are absolutely the best on earth, and I am forever grateful that I've been able to give my life's work among God's people. But people in general, people who need to know the Lord, who don't know the Lord, the opportunity to talk with them about what really matters in life, to build relationships with people, Christians and non-Christians alike, where they're willing to open their heart and share their life with you, and you then have the ability to filter those things through Scripture to help instruct and help them in their daily life. To me, that has been an amazing, amazing pleasure. But I tell you what I've learned is that for everything else that changes, you know, Roger and I were talking today of some things that we did when we first started preaching that would be unimaginable today because of technology. For everything that does change, the fundamental needs of people do not change. And the hurts that people feel do not change. The brokenness that people come to realize at some point in time in their life does not change. And to have, again, the ability to filter that through the Word of God, to be of benefit and help, to bind up those wounds as best you can, and to instruct for the future is just an awesome privilege.
I think for me, and again, it's very similar to what you said, Don, that one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest things I've seen is just lives change. Sometimes people come to you and their lives are a total mess. Their families are broken, their marriage are broken. We're not the Savior. We're just the instrument to take them to the Savior. But to see people change their lives and see some of these people that have been addicted to this or that, people who are just really not going anywhere in life, and see them through the years changing. Some of these guys are preaching today. Some of these guys are serving as shepherds today. Powerful people who put Jesus in their life and see that change. That's just wonderful. I mean, that's the upside of preaching. It's just wonderful blessings to be God's hands and feet to try to help other people. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful joy for me.
One of the biggest joys, I mean, building, both of you, great, great answers. But for me to see it go from generation to generation has been just a tremendous joy. I can think of people who I had the privilege of baptizing when they were teenagers, and I've had the privilege of baptizing their children, and now seeing their children have children of their own. And those little kids, the grandchildren of that first generation, now in Bible classes, and watching that legacy of the gospel change, starting with one life, and maybe going from them to their spouse, and then from them to their kids, and now their children having children, being brought up in the Lord. You can't put a price tag on that sort of thing.
You know, as we were kicking this off this morning, you know, and thinking about between the three of us, there's 100 years of preaching. I was thinking about Noah, and by himself alone, there's 100 years of preaching.
That's right.
And what that old guy must have thought after 100 years of preaching, you know. But we serve the Lord the best that we can.
Absolutely. And all of the glory belongs to Him, as you said earlier. Just instruments. But instruments, clay pots with treasure inside that we desperately want to share with others. Don, it has been our privilege to have you here over the course of the last few days. We very, very, very much encourage anyone listening to join us this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. If you have missed any of the lessons previously, if you would like to go back and look at those, thanks to the efforts of a lot of hardworking people, those are archived at charlestownroad.org. And one of the amazing things is, you know, you preach a lesson one time, but in this age, it can be archived, it can be shared, it can live a long time to come.
Well, that's exactly right. And I want to tell you how much I've enjoyed being with you, and enjoyed being with you last week on the video cast. Glad to be with you today. Appreciate you and Roger and what you do so much, Jason. You all do wonderful work here, and you bless countless lives through this medium, and I'm grateful for that.
Appreciate that very much. We're looking forward to tonight, but we're also looking forward to Sunday. Roger, you've got the privilege of preaching this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. You want to give us a preview of what's to come?
Sunday is Father's Day, so we're going to talk about not our dads, but our Father in heaven. And we're going to look at a prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and some things we pull out of that about God. God's footprints are all through that prayer. We're going to talk about those things.
We've got a lot to look forward to here in the context of our church family. Roger and Don, thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We would love to have you continue to come and grow with us. Thanks for listening.